Thank you, Nelson. Our message this morning is titled A Declaration of Dependence. And it's a little bit of a follow-up or maybe even a second in a series of what we talked about last week. So this Thursday, we're going to celebrate Independence Day. This all began 243 years ago, when on July 4, 1776, 56 brave men signed a document known as the Declaration of Independence. So a question I have here this morning is do you have any idea what price these men paid? I never did. Probably because I didn't pay attention in history, but my story is that it wasn't there. So let me give you just a brief summary of what some of these 56 men suffered. Five were captured and tortured by the British before they died. 12 had their homes ransacked and burned to the ground. 2 lost their sons in the war. 1 had 2 sons captured. 9 fought and died from wounds of the hardships of that war. Carter Braxton of Virginia, a wealthy planter and trader, saw his ship swept from the seas by the British Navy. He sold his home to pay his debt, and he died in rags. Thomas McKean was so hounded by the British that he was forced to move his family almost constantly. He went on to serve in Congress without pay, and he died a very poor man. Thomas Nelson's home was seized by the British at the Battle of Yorktown and used as a command post. He urged General George Washington to open fire on his own home. The home was destroyed, and Nelson died bankrupt. You see, liberty has always exacted a price. That's what the 4th of July is all about, remembering. However, this spirit of independence that we celebrate was not meant to exclude God. Our nation is steadily moving away from the Lord, as is evidenced in our recent years. Look at what's going on today. Look at what's happening with the people that are running for president. God has been kicked out of most public institutions. We talked about this last week. There is almost zero exposure to the Ten Commandments for our young people. We have abortion on demand. Abortion is a tool for birth control today. I think we mentioned a stat last week that there's 1 million babies killed every year in the United States. Pornography is more acceptable and available than ever before. I just heard on the news, I think it was last night, where a 9-year-old boy was on his phone in a pornography site, automatically popped up on his phone. And he had a parent, a God-loving parent, thank God, that was so aware of these possibilities that his restrictions were for where this would not happen. And she had talked to him about this exact type of thing. And his response when this popped up on his phone was, he dropped his phone and moved away and said, "I didn't do anything." And she believed him, and I believe her. But this is exactly where we're at today. Euthanasia is common in parts of our country. Legalization of our drugs is gaining support. Look at the marijuana situation we have in various states. Not too long ago, a U.S. District Court ruled that the cadets of West Point could no longer be made to attend college or chapel. The Speaker of the House rose in a recent session of Congress and stated that no politician or government representative, listen to this, should take a public stand on a religious matter of any kind. And right behind him on the wall was a plaque with the words inscribed, "In God We Trust." Billy Graham, in an address to a congressional prayer breakfast, said he believed that there were many times in the history of America where certain men stood for God and changed the course of its destiny. I too believe that. You just got to look at our history. For example, at the first Constitutional Convention, the delegates were frustrated due to the burdens of the hour. They were so fragmented that they were just about to throw out the whole concept of a constitution. Just then, an old white-haired man by the name of Benjamin Franklin rose to his feet and he said this, "Gentlemen, if it is true that not one single petal from any flower falls to the ground without escaping God's attention, will the distress of this nation go unheeded? Let us therefore be determined to seek his face." This delegation promptly got down on their knees. And when they arose from prayer, the slogan, "E Pluribus Unum," was born. One out of many. Can you imagine what would happen today if all of Congress would get down on its knees and pray? Revival. A real revival would truly, surely come to these shores. So today, I'm calling for a declaration of dependence. And that would be a dependence on God. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance. Article 1. America, built upon Christian principles. Greece built a civilization on culture and it failed. Rome built its civilization on power and it crumbled. But our forefathers founded our nation on godly principles, and America will live on as long as the Lord is our God. Amen. Thank you. Do you recall the picture of George Washington at Valley Forge? All huddled in their little tents, little bitty campfires, the snow is knee-high to a giraffe. No, I'm just kidding you. His little army was almost starving and freezing to death. Everything they held dear was at stake. They were fighting against an unsurmountable odds. But out in the snow, away from the encampment, down on his knees, George Washington was praying. That is the spirit that built America. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Article 2. America. excuse me, richly blessed by God. Our natural resources are second to none. It's recently been declared that we had the largest crude oil reserve in the world. Look at our natural beauty. Just recall a time when you sat on the shore of a lake and watched the sunset. Just recall of a time when you watched a rainbow across the sky. Just recall of a time when you went and seen the Lake of the Clouds, Yellowstone National Park, any of the national parks, Pictured Rocks, your own backyard, your flowers, your landscaping. All of these things are creations of God. So let me say this, good government is not perfect, but it's still the best. No concentration camps. No secret police. No one-man rule. Freedom of speech and the press. I can even stand up here this morning and speak against our government from this very pulpit without fear of reprisal. This may be the only place in the world that that can happen. Religious freedom. No state-run church. A few people meeting in a little shack for prayer have the same rights as those meeting in a cathedral or a megachurch. Place where everyone has a chance. Men like Edison and Henry Ford, who were born into poor families and yet became millionaires. Abraham Lincoln, born in a log cabin and ended up in the White House. Article number 3. America, in need of God. Here's a couple of examples. A certain family was riding down a highway one day and saw a sign with the words, "Jesus saves." A little girl in the back seat asked if it was a savings bank. These are true, by the way. A 14-year-old boy was given a Gospel of John. "What's that?" he asked. He was told that it was part of the Bible. His next question was, "What's a Bible?" A child attending Vacation Bible School went home and told her mother that her teacher was swearing. That's what she thought when the teacher used the name of Jesus. A young boy, after hearing the creation story, corrected the teacher, saying that Adam was God and he and Eve created the world. So I ask you this morning, what can we do? The best thing you can do for America is to give her a good Christian life. Be the light and the salt. Bloom where God has planted you. God will see your life and will use it to bless our nation. I mentioned the phrase last week, stop being the silent majority. That is the only reason all of these things that exist today in our nation are allowed to exist, because we who do no better and worship a God do not follow his directions of going forth and making disciples of men. We are just plain happy being the silent majority. You can pray for a national revival. God is at work. What I have written down here is Congress is riddled with Christians. I'm not sure I'd use that word riddled after I watched just a little bit of the debates this past week. But I do believe that there are Christians that serve in Congress, both in the state and the national. I believe this with every bit of my being. But I also believe they're very happy being the silent majority. And I want to thank God this morning for the Christian leaders that we have. You can depend on God as your true source of liberty. You can depend on God as your true source of courage. And you can depend on God as your true source of spiritual power. I know you've heard this phrase before, but I'm going to borrow it this morning. I have a dream. I have a dream that those who claim to be born again will declare themselves verbally and back it up with godly lifestyle. I have a dream that America's churches will one day put away their commitment to change man by changing his environment. I have a dream that the people of God will tear down the non-essential walls that separate them in order to show a united front to the world. I have a dream that Christians everywhere will truly love each other and thereby demonstrate that they really are children of God. How do we do that? How do we demonstrate that we are truly children of God? Do we do it by just coming to church on Sunday morning, listening to a message, singing some songs, praying, and then go home and go about our life as we like it to be for the following week? Do your words, do your actions, do your abilities portray that you are a child of God? Do you invite people to come to church? Are you welcoming when they do come? Are we in any way, shape, or form, itty-bitty little thing, the way God wants us to be? Or do we just go out and be what we want to be, what pleasures us? Because making disciples of men is more work than I want to put into it, or I'm too old for this, it's the young people's chance. Nowhere in the Bible did I read anywhere that making disciples of men stopped when you were 65 years old. That's what I'm talking about. I have a dream that one day in our great nation, our boys and girls will be allowed to pray in our public schools again. We're starting to see a little bit of crack in that. A few of the schools are starting to allow this under certain circumstances. As long as you do it here, as long as you do it when, as long as this, as long as that. Hogwash! Nowhere in the Bible does it say that we can only pray in a certain place, or we can only pray a certain way, or we can only pray when somebody allows us to. We need to have an atmosphere in our schools and in our public buildings and in our daily lives where we can pray anything we want, when we want, as long as it glorifies God and furthers His kingdom.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you. I have a dream that one day America will stop killing unborn children at the rate of over 1 million each year. This is probably the one thing of all of these dreams that I'm stating here that bothers me the most. It has got to be so crazy. It started out just when the mother's health was in danger. Today it's a form of birth control. It started out only in the first trimester. Now it's at the time of birth. They can pull this little baby out of the birth canal. And I'm going to be graphic because I want it to shock you. That they can take a stiff scissors while the head is still in that canal and stab it in the back of the brain and kill it. And we're silent about it. We elect people that encourage this. We elect people that promote this. And I don't mean to get political. That's not what this is about. But there's no way, shape, or form do I believe that God encourage us to bring these people that encourage abortion to be in power. I refuse to accept that. I have a dream that revival will spread across this land and reach into every town, city, and hamlet. I have a dream that the Hall of Congress will ring with the sound of singing praises to God and the husband and the hushed tones of our prayers. Would that not be awesome? But I'm going to take that dream one step further. I have a dream that our homes, that our workplaces, that our schools will ring with the sound of singing praises to God and the hushed tones of our prayer. That our homes, you notice I led out with our homes? There are Christians today in their homes or anywhere do not give thanks before they eat. And I'll tell you where this came to me more shockingly than anywhere else. And that was at our annual conference. It blew my mind. How many clergy of this denomination would go through the line and get their meal and sit down at the table and start in a conversation with somebody while they're preparing their food? And no prayer. It blew my mind. I have no doubt in my mind that there are people that call themselves Christians that have children that are not taught to pray before a meal. That are not taught to pray before they go to sleep at night. Or that are not taught to pray just because. I have a dream that the family unit will be restored to its proper place in society as the very foundation of our nation. Families as we used to know it no longer exist by and large. We have single parents. We have a culture in certain elements of our society where having children are a paycheck because they can get aid to dependent children from the federal government and food stamps and this and this and this and this that are raised without fathers. They have no male image in the home today. Grandparents are raising grandchildren at an alarming rate because of split families. I think I mentioned last week that the marriages were like, I'm just going to speak in round numbers, like 5,000 a day in the United States, and the divorces were like 2,900. something in that order. You're getting my point. Almost half of the marriages that happen every day in the United States end up in divorce, which ends up in split families, children without a mother or and a father. It's one or the other. With that, the family can no longer be the foundation of this nation. With that, the foundation just becomes, it's all about me. The foundation of this nation, because of these type of things, is slowly getting to be about what I want to do, what I want to have. I want this toy and this toy and this toy. So both parents have to work full time and the children come home from school to an empty house. Now don't get me wrong, I know there's some need for that. I understand that. But I have a problem with it when the parents allow that type of an environment so they can have a bigger house than they need, a newer car than they need, they can have a boat in the garage, a snowmobile in the storage shed, etc., etc., etc. Where things, where toys become more important than the raising of their children in a Christian manner, to worship God and love God. I have a dream that child pornography will be replaced with child protection and care. Now, our government touts that we have child protection, but I want to tell you right now, it's a failure. You hear on the news what is happening to children, to young teenagers today. It is mind-boggling. And it is because that God was not part of that family. I have a dream that the church will once again become the centerpiece of the community where people will look for comfort, inspiration, and moral leadership. We need churches that are Bible-believing, Bible-preaching. We need churches that play a leadership role. We need pastors that love God. We need pastors that are there because they've been called to go forth and make disciples of men, not pastors because the pension plan is really good and we only work 1 hour a week. Okay, you can laugh. But you see my point? We have mega churches in this country today that by their own, this person's own admission is that you will not see a Bible anywhere in my church. You believe that? It's true. We have pastors, they call them pastors, but they're evangelists, tele-evangelists, that have millions and millions of dollars. There's one of them that goes unnamed this morning that makes an income of $58 million a year. I have a dream that the churches of America will be packed at every worship service, and that a hunger for God's word will arise across the land. The all-time church attendance was the Sunday after 9/11. The following Sunday after 9/11, more than half of them were empty. That's not where we need to be. We need to be inviting. We need to be welcoming. We need to be warm. You can look about and look at how much room we have to fill these pews. That only happens through invitation. That only happens through prayer. That only happens when we ask God to take charge of this church and direct each and every one of us, including me, to do what it needs to be done to make that happen. And we cannot do it without a support system out in the public. We cannot do it if our children are not exposed to the Ten Commandments. Most churches today don't even read the Ten Commandments during their worship service anymore. I have a dream that one day America will return to the faith of our founding fathers. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And all of God's people said,
Amen.